Hello, my name is Catherine Gordon, and I am one of the investment advisors with Sightline Wealth Management. Today is Monday, September the 19th, 2022. And today we are continuing our conversation series with Warren Giroux. And the topic of today's call will be on interest rates. Now, the reason interest rates rise is in hope of combating inflation. We have seen a lot of inflation this year, both at the gas pumps and in the grocery stores. There's been lots of fluctuation in prices of meat, chicken, and beef, and gasoline prices went up significantly in the spring, and we have seen some retraction in the summer. But we know that rates for gasoline are expected to go higher again. In the latest news, we've been told that airline tickets are expected to go up for the holiday season, which is not great for family hoping to visit each other. So my first question for you today, Warren, I was hoping you could recap for our listeners how much have interest rates gone up this year, both in Canada and in the US?
Well, thanks for having me, Catherine. Just to give us a quick recap, our current Bank of Canada bank rate is 3.25%. That's the overnight rate, the bank rate, and the deposit rate. They're all virtually the same. And if we go back to March 27th, 2020, we had an increase or decrease, I should say, of 50 basis points, taking the overnight rate down to 25 basis points. Fast forward to this year, starting in March of this year, we had a 25 basis point increase, which took the overnight rate and the Fed, the Bank of Canada rate up to 50 basis points. On April the 14th, we had another 50 basis point increase. June was 50 basis point increase. And July 13th was a full 1%, which brought the overnight rate to 2.5. And then on September the 7th, the latest increase was 75 basis points. Taking the rate to 3.25%. So that sort of it gives us an idea where we are today. Inflation is still running in Canada at about 7.6%. It came down slightly from 8.1%, but still significantly higher than what the current rate is, the bank rate is. Now, if we look at the U.S. rate, depending on what we're looking at, whether it's a bank rate, deposit rate, or overnight, is between 2.25% and 2.50%. The rate increases in the U.S. started back in March, again, it was a 25 basis point increase. And in May, we had a 50 basis point move. And then starting in June and in July, we had 2 75 basis point increases. Now, the next increase in the U.S. is expected this week. There's been a lot of talk about originally they were thinking 50 basis points, but that's certainly as a result of the latest inflation numbers that we have seen in the U.S. What's expected now is a baked in 75 basis points. There is talk about a 1% increase. And I just saw a few minutes ago on CNBC that there's one chap is talking about a 1.25% increase, which I think is pretty aggressive. But for argument's sake, I think we can pretty well count on a 75 basis point increase coming in 2 days in the U.S. With the chance of it going as high as 1%.
Thank you, Warren. I was also hoping if you could explain to our listeners, what is the market reaction to these changes in interest rates?
Well, initially, the market, the Fed basically changed directions from being very accommodative to being a little more restrictive. And the market initially was not that all that positive about the change in direction. And we certainly saw a significant drawdown in the equity markets this year. I think we have to look, the market's always trying to anticipate. The market is always trying to anticipate out 6 to 12 months. And so initially we saw a significant drawdown in the market, and then we the Fed came out with their rates, and based on the language and interpretation of the language of the Fed, some people thought that because the market reaction, the Fed may possibly pause and maybe even pivot. And but that hasn't happened. And in fact, with the latest news from Jackson Hole, and also the latest data, which is indicating that the inflation rate has not certainly turned around, other than maybe a month. And then we saw the last reading increase just slightly. The market's reaction has not been very good. It's been very negative. And we expect to see, I would expect to see that the market come under additional pressure as we go forward with additional rate increases. I think the one thing we have to appreciate is when rates go higher, that causes corporate financing to be more expensive. And as rates go higher, consumers have less disposable income because rates on loans and so forth go higher, mortgage rates go higher. It attacks the affordability of housing and also the credit card expense. So you have less disposable income. And also, as I mentioned, corporate financing funding becomes a little more expensive, and that has a tendency to hurt the margins on earnings. So consequently, you do see the margin squeezed as a result, earnings falter. And when you have valuations of the market as high as we've had, it tends to lead to falling equity prices, or at least a pause in equity prices moving higher. So this, based on what we've seen in the last little while, we've had a lot of supply chain disruption from the pandemic. We've had a war on fossil fuels and so forth, and we've seen inflation quite rampant. Having said that, the Fed's said time and time again that they plan to fight inflation and to bring it down to what their target level of 2%. So we're certainly a long way away from that. And so I think, we've seen a lot more volatility in the equity market. I think we continue to see volatility in the equity markets going forward. I don't think we're through this difficult time by any stretch of the imagination.
Thank you, Warren. So further to that, can you outline what the expectation is for the future direction of interest rates? What are we hearing?
Well, most of the talk on the street that I'm hearing anyway is expect to see rates move higher, especially this next meeting and possibly another couple of rate increases moving into 2023. A lot of market analysts out there have also talked about a pivot where they think that there'll be enough damage either in equity prices or the general economy that the Fed will pause and possibly have to reduce interest rates. I look at both sides of it. And what I've done recently is I found a chart that looked at rate tightening cycles going back to 1973. And there's been 8 of them, not counting the one that we're currently in right now. Each time the Fed funds rate has exceeded inflation. So if we look at inflation currently sitting at, let's say it's sitting somewhere around 8% for argument's sake, that would mean that the Fed funds rate would have to exceed 8%. Now, obviously, inflation is a moving target and it certainly can come down, but we haven't really seen any sustained evidence that the interest rates are going to come down, or that I should not say interest rates, I apologize. Inflation has started to come down in a significant way. So that would tend to lead me to believe anyway that based on where we currently are with our overnight rate in Canada, 3.25% in the US between 2.25% and 2.50%, that rates have to go substantially higher than where we are today. Now, if you believe that inflation is going to come down in a meaningful way in the next few months from where it currently is to say, let's say 4 or even 5%, based on historical perspective, that would still suggest that rates have a ways to go, that the Fed rate has to move from where it currently is, as to say around, let's call it 2.25% in the US, to somewhere in the neighborhood of 5%. And that certainly is a long way from where we are today. It's a significant move. And so I tend to believe that, I guess you'd say I'm a little bit more bearish. I think that rates are going to be moving a little bit higher from here. And also, if we look at treasury rates, bond rates during that same period of time in each one of those tightening periods, We've seen that the bond rates, the treasury rates have gone higher than inflation as well, so that there's an actual real return. Again, we're sitting here at, you know, around a three handle, three plus handle with our yield curve on the long end. The short end has actually inverted, of course, or has become inverted, and which is a strong indication we're heading into a recession. I think one of the confounding factors in this, or the puzzle in this whole exercise right now, is the labor market. The labor market continues to be strong. And typically when you head into a recession, you have weakness in the labor market. But we haven't exhibited any of those issues to date. And of course, the Fed sees that as looking at that plus the core rate of inflation. And as I've said, he's been pounding the table that they're going to tame inflation. And so I would expect to see interest rates go quite a bit higher than where they currently are. And if we use history as a guide, then I would say that we could see a substantial increase in rates in the next coming months, next year.
Thank you, Warren. And last question for you, what types of investments do well in a rising interest rate environment, and what areas should we be avoiding?
Well, I think the first area to avoid would be discretionary spending. Typically, when you have higher inflation, disposable income is reduced fairly substantially. And as a result, you end up with less spending power. So I would say, you know, consumer staples and so forth. Commodities typically do well in inflationary environments. However, there is a point in the cycle where with much higher rates, you can see demand destruction. And when you see demand destruction, of course, prices fall. Now, in the case of consumer staples, I think, you know, people have to eat, they have to drive their cars and so forth. They have to actually, you know, the economy doesn't come to a complete stop. I think on the oil side, the energy side, we've certainly had demand destruction. As I mentioned, we've had a war on fossil fuels most recently. And so we haven't really been adding to our reserves in a meaningful way. So I would expect to see the oil complex remain fairly robust. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to go back to $120, although some analysts are suggesting it could go back to, you know, a much higher. Now, some people are calling for $150 oil, $200 oil. I'm not necessarily in that camp, but certainly at where the current price is, around mid-80s to $100 a barrel, I certainly think that's quite possible. So you could look at the energy complex and suggest that that could be an interesting place to look at. Gold and precious metals typically have done well in strong inflationary periods, but to date they haven't, at least in Canadian U.S. dollar terms. If we look at gold and precious metals on a internationally, and we look at it from foreign currency basis, gold and precious metals this year have actually done quite well. They've been quite strong. It's just in terms of U.S. dollars, gold has not done that well, and also the Canadian dollar. So those are two areas that look to be a little bit interesting. Also, on the debt side, I think some short-term private debt looks very interesting. You know, mortgage funds that have durations of a year and so forth, they look fairly interesting in the housing market, is exclusively in the housing market. I think some REITs are very interesting. If you look at REITs that are driven or focus on the apartments, multifamily housing sort of thing, and also medical facilities, government buildings, those kind of things where you have sort of a captive audience in areas, specific parts of the economy, which are somewhat recession-proof. That looks fairly interesting as well. Also, there's another sort of something that's come up more recently with the increase in interest rates. And I know Ray Dalio has spoken about this quite a few times, where he said cash is trash because, of course, you're losing purchasing power. However, based on where the general equity market may be headed, I think having a little bit of cash is not a bad idea. At least you know, have something to invest at a later date. And given the fact that we've seen short-term interest rates at all-time highs, you know, certainly short-term bonds or even GICs are starting to show some attractive yields. So I wouldn't discount those either. But, you know, it's going to be very difficult, I think, going forward. in the equity markets, there's going to be a lot of volatility. And we've seen with the equity markets too, that as market sentiment turns negative on the economy in general, that even stocks that are that have good earnings and have good earnings growth and have pricing powers and so forth, and able to pass along inflation to their customer base, they're still being, you know, when you have negative market sentiment, they get sold off as well. So it's not, you know, today to try to buy something that's going to, you know, think to go up in the next 6 months to 9 months on a consistent basis. I just don't think there's anything out there at this point in time. So it's a very difficult market to be investing in with all the volatility and all the news that's out there. The one thing to say that, even Ray Dalio mentions this in some of his YouTube videos that I've been watching recently. He talks about the key drivers of the market, and he's alluded to the fact that previously, in previous generations, our market was driven primarily by economics. Today, our markets are being driven more by the social and the political aspects of the environment, and less about the economics. So the political aspects are really coming into play here, and it's also having a meaningful impact on our equity markets. And certainly, we've seen this with the transition from the fossil fuel industry to the clean energy. And that agenda is certainly inflationary in nature, because we're not ready for that transition. And it's going to take an enormous amount of build out in the infrastructure to see that come to be the case that we have clean energy. Certainly, I guess, if you were to look at infrastructure, there's certain infrastructure plays right now that look very attractive going forward, especially we're going to see a lot of government spending. So there's some plays there that you could take a good hard look at. It's going to be a tight market. It's going to be difficult and a lot of volatility. I guess you just have to, you know, pick your spots. You have to be confident in your outlook, whatever that outlook may be, and place your investments accordingly. So I don't envy the average investor in this environment. It's very difficult.
Thank you, Warren. Your insight and expertise is very valuable. We very much look forward to having our next conversation at a later date with you, Warren. Hope you have a great rest of your day.